I still believe all you need is love, you know, but I don't believe that just saying it is going to do it, you know. I mean, I still believe in the fact that love is what we all need.
And it was for love. It was for love and bloody peace again, you know. It was a fabulous time.
You say you will love me if I have to go. You'll be thinking of me. Somehow I will know. Someday when I'm lonely, wishing you weren't so far away, then I will remember things we said today. You say you'll be mine, girl, till the end of time. These days such a kind girl seems so hard to find. Someday when we're dreaming, deep in love, not a lot to say, then we will remember things we said today. Me, I'm just the lucky kind, love to hear you say that love is love, and though we may be blind, love is here to stay, and that's enough to make you mine, girl.
Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a weekly program of science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and, oh yes, the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. This morning, oh boy, are we planned. Well, actually, the answer to that is no, not at all. But we'll have fun, so just stay tuned, will you? again, good morning. So, yeah, I was talking about being prepared. And that's a lovely thing to talk about, and one of these years I will do it. But not this morning. Yeah, you see, I almost was prepared. I brought with me a book, or as Harlan Ellison would have said in one of his stories that I played a few weeks ago, a book of short stories by Philip K. Dick. And I was thinking, okay, one good possibility would be to read Oh, to Be a Blobel, which is a great and wonderful Philip K. Dick story. Only one problem with that. Something I rarely do. People know I've left this thing at home. I've left that thing. I've left the book at hand at home. I've never left the writer who's going to be the guest at home, although sometimes they've left themselves at home. I left my glasses at home. I left my bleeping glasses at home. And I didn't bring my tablet. And my phone is not a large enough instrument to read from. My tablet is, my phone not so much. You know, and even then it's a, you know, 4.5-inch screen. But I have brought a few things. I've brought radio drama, and I've brought interview. And which will we go with? You know, I haven't fully decided. In fact, we're listener-sponsored radio. We're supposed to be democratic here. I will let you... this show, Hour of the Wolf, is not a democracy. I will make the determination. But you know what? You can sway me. You can help. I offer you two choices. Both of them really good. One of them is an unedited... God help me, but that means I'm going to be sitting with my finger on the censor button. Interview with Gardner Dozois and Eileen Gunn. It's one of the very few things not yet broadcast from last year's Nebula Awards, where I conducted about 15 to 20 interviews. I had a ball there. It was a lot of fun. And Gardner Dozois and Eileen Gunn are way cool. The only thing I have against that is it's not fiction, and I was hoping to bring you fiction this week. Oh, we brought you fiction last week. We had Keith DeCandido on last week, who very graciously came very last minute, and there's a story behind that that, well, if you see me, ask me, and I'll tell you about it. But, I just remembered, yeah, I've been talking about being unprepared. I need to bring up a web page so I can do an announcement, because Keith's story has something to do with a New York Review of Science Fiction reading. And we have one for you this coming Tuesday, and I need to tell you all about it. I didn't print it out, so I've got to bring that up. Okay, so we've got, Google has Jackie Robinson's 94th birthday listed on their homepage. That's very cool. Okay. Anyway, Jackie Robinson aside, two things. So I've got that Eileen Gunn Gardner Dozois interview, and I've got I'm going to have to log in and do that whole thing. I'm just going to tell you about the reading in a moment. I'll give you the details later. And I've got a radio drama, a wonderful radio drama produced out in California almost 20 years ago at this point, of the Robert Heinlein short story By His Bootstraps. And it is a wonderful drama performed by a colleague of ours here at WBAI, Yuri Rosofsky, and it stars Richard Dreyfuss. And so I'm not sure which I should play. The not yet broadcast radio drama starring Richard Dreyfuss, or the No, I'm sorry. The often broadcast but not heard in a little while radio drama starring Richard Dreyfuss, written by Heinlein, or the never broadcast interview with editor and writer Gardner Dozois, and I guess editor also and writer and former Microsofty Eileen Gunn. So if you have a preference, yeah, you can give me a call. What's our phone number here? It changes every week. It's 917-580-6020. Again, 580-6020, area code cell phone, 917. The reading, yes. The 5th, February 5th, this coming Tuesday, at the New York Review of Science Fiction Readings at the Soho Gallery for Digital Art, we will have two wonderful readers. Neither of them necessarily big names in the field, but both of them cool people with cool names in terms of what it is that they do. One is Sarah McCary, with whom I am not familiar. She is a writer of a blog called The Rejectionist, which I've looked at and is utterly wonderful. And I've read some of her short fiction because it's online. You can look her up and read some of her stuff yourself, but better yet, come to the reading. The other reader is Paul Witkover, and Paul is a former curator of the New York Review of Science Fiction Readings. He immediately preceded me. I've been doing it now, I guess, about 9 years or so. And Paul was the curator before I was. So I figured it's absolutely, it was going to be Robert Freeman Wexler, but he had to do a house closing somewhere in Ohio, so he couldn't make it. And certainly having Paul, a former curator himself, choose his co-reader seems perfectly apt, seeing as how he could put together and did put together the series for 2 or 3 years himself. So that's this coming Tuesday. Admission is free. I freely admit people who come, although we do ask for donations, which go to buy dinner and drinks, depending on who's reading, right afterward. And you're welcome to come out with us to the local pub nearby. And where's all this going to happen? At the Soho That's professional radio. The Soho Gallery for Digital Art, 138 Sullivan Street, between Houston Street and the street formerly known as Prince. And the reading begins at 7 o'clock, not sharp. We're very loose about that kind of a thing. But show up at 6:30. That's when we open the doors, and that way you get to rub elbows with the unrich and unfamous, but undeservedly not famous. Well, never mind. Just show up early and meet the people who will be there. I promise you, you will have a good time. You will hear good fictions read for you by the authors. And I will repeat that information later, and I'll have the full bios in front of me. But if you would like to have the bio in front of you, even as we speak, you can do that in one of two ways. You can go to my website, ourwolf.com, OurWolf.com, and you'll see New York Review of Science Fiction Readings. You click on that. That'll show you the listing of what we've got coming up. And, oh, yes, by the way, March, one word, Oz. That's a good word. That's the March reading, Oz, with very, very cool Aussie-type people. And the And then you'll click on, you'll see full details, and you'll see pictures of our readers and all kinds of bio information. And if you're not a website type of person, but you're one of those social media types, you can go to Facebook, and there is the New York Review of Science Fiction Readings there. It's called the NYRSF Readings Group, NYRSF. Start typing that in. You'll see the group. You should be able to see what's there without joining, but it may ask you to click to join. And then, you know, next time I see it, I'll just click you in, you're a member. And you can read all the information there and get spammed forever in a day. No, I actually only send out about one email a month about who will be reading. So those are the two primary ways you can find out more information, and I'll repeat it again towards the end of the program. So if you wanted to call up and kibitz, say something, I see here I had four calls before, and then I dropped the ball, as it were, talking about other things, on which you would rather hear, the interview or the reading slash drama. That's a spoiler. If you know the story, you'll understand that's a spoiler. The telephone number here at WBAI is 917-580-6020. Should I mention, by the way, it is both an anniversary show for Hour of the Wolf. All of January is an anniversary because Margot Adler started the show in January 72. So this is the 41st anniversary of the show. And end days for WBAI at 120 Wall Street. We are going to be relocating to CCNY, to our furthest uptown location ever, CCNY, somewhere in the next few weeks. Good morning, you are on the radio.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
I think I'd rather hear the drama.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
From the Bronx here.
Okay, very good.
Very good, sir.
Okay, thank you. Have a good morning. Okay, that's one dramatic vote, and hi there, you're on the radio. Well, why should I put you on the radio if you're just a dial tone? Hi, you're on the air? No, you see, I accidentally hung up on a person there. Good morning, you're on the radio.
Hello?
Hi there, you're on the air.
Is this WBAI?
You're on the air.
Yeah.
Turn off your radio. Little bit of advice. We're on delay, so turn off your radio. You're on the air.
Can I just wait?
Okay, but not for too long. You're on the air now, sir.
Oh, I would prefer the radio drama with Richard Dreyfuss.
Okay, very good. Thanks a lot. Okay, you know, I'll take one more call, but we're probably going to do the Dreyfuss. I see where the problem is. Okay, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, James, I would prefer the drama.
Well, be that
way.
I've
never read that story.
Oh.
By the way, you really can't read without your glasses. Is that true?
Well, it depends on the type size, but yeah.
Oh, at least you don't drop them and break them like Burgess Meredith, and then you'd have to say it's not fair.
Well, you know what? It isn't fair. Good morning.
Radio drama.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, Heinlein it is. Remember, you asked. No, it's a wonderful, wonderful production. It was the pilot of a series produced for. It was produced for radio, but didn't have a home radio station. But it had its first broadcasts here on Pacifica Radio. And it's in two parts. It's formatted to be in two parts. And so without further ado, we will say hello to Mr. Dreyfuss. I will say one thing, which was that some years ago, somebody, I've actually had people, this I do not get, people will look at me and say, you know, you look like Richard Dreyfuss. No, I don't. One person once told me I look something like Stephen Jay Gould, the scientist. And I've seen pictures of Stephen Gould, and yeah, okay, there's a slight resemblance. if I stayed in shape, which Stephen Gould did. After having broadcast this once many years ago, I had a couple of listeners call up and say, "Jim, that is the best reading you have ever done on the air." And I said, "That wasn't me. That was Richard Dreyfuss." "Really? It sounded just like you." "Why?" That's sort of my Dreyfuss imitation there. And yeah, okay, there is a vague vocal resemblance, but there's a difference. Dreyfuss can really act, and he can really perform. I've never met the man, I'll warrant. I know I can analyze Heinlein better than he can. So there. Take that, Richard Dreyfuss. So, with all that said and done, we now bring you an episode, the pilot episode of the radio series Beyond 2000, produced well long before 2000.
The following stereo program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts and produced in association with Dove Audio, an imprint of New Star Publishing.
Hi there. Listen, everything's going to be explained absolutely completely for you in just a few moments, but first,
we'd like you to eavesdrop
on this executive board meeting in a hat-making firm sometime beyond the year 2000.
All right, simmer down. This meeting of the United Haberdashery Corporation Board of Directors will now come to order. Come to order, for crying out loud! All right, now let's get right to business. I presume you have all looked over the latest sales figures. I think I can characterize them in one word. Lousy! Look at this. Hats are down. Chapeaux are down. Caps are down. Tiaras are down. Crowns are down. Babushkas are down. Everything is down, down, down! Furthermore, the sales department predicts that matters are only going to get worse. Swanson! You're the president of United Haberdashery. You're supposed to be doing something about this. So tell us, please, what are you doing about it?
Thank you, sir. Gentlemen, as we have heard, haberdashery sales have been crippled badly since the last nuclear war. The loss of revenue has been no surprise to any of us, but it is not this loss which concerns us today. It is the prediction that sales will decline even further in the future. Gentlemen, I contest the projections of the sales department. It is my contention that sales will be greater than ever.
I know
my prediction is hard to believe, and I intend to give you a full explanation before we leave this room today. But first, I wish you to hear a very special report from a very special man, Professor Ralph Entwiller, of the American Foundation of Eugenics. Professor, please.
Thank you. Mr. Swanson asked me to speak to you today about the future. I know nothing about the haberdashery business. My field is eugenics, and my specialty is the study of radiation biology.
Professor, could you be more specific, please?
I deal with mutations, gentlemen, mutations that will soon become the norm of birth. Already the percentage of mutated births is close to 65, and we believe it will increase as time goes by.
Wait a minute. I don't understand. What does any of this have to do with us?
Ah, a great deal. For one thing, gentlemen, we're going to be selling twice as many hats.
National Public Radio presents a Hollywood Theater of the Ear production, Beyond 2000. A radio series devoted to stories of the next millennia. Now, here is your host, the award-winning writer and critic, Harlan Ellison.
Salutations. Welcome to the first of 26 hours of exemplary radio drama in the genre of imaginative fiction, presented by the Hollywood Theater of the Ear. Or, as we say in the 12th dimension, welcome to the Quatwunkery. I had one grunch with the eggplant over there, and I delight in pinching your claw in greeting. We're going to be doing great dramas, all of which take place beyond the year 2000. The weird little appetizer that you have just sampled was titled Merchant, and it was written by the wonderful New York writer, Mr. Henry Slesser. And in the cast, you heard Hamilton Camp as the chairman, Phil Proctor as the CEO, and Ira Burton as the professor. Our main presentation this time is one of the classics of fantastic literature, the oft-reprinted By His Bootstraps, as published in 1941 by the man they called the Dean of American Science Fiction, Robert A. Heinlein. It's a time travel story. And though both Albert Einstein and Isaac Asimov have gone on record that travel in the time stream is pure fantasy, an illegitimate pseudoscience relative of real-time physics, even so, I think you're going to find this little mystery tale a charming Laoconian serpent that swallows its own tail not once, but maybe half a dozen times. It is a bewildering fictional conceit that asks such questions as, who is who? And when? And when is a man not himself? Yesterday, today, or tomorrow? And why, when we are confronted with the impossible, why don't we just sit back and enjoy it? Well, it's time to do that thing. To sit back, cup your palm behind your ear for better listening, and come with Bob Heinlein, Richard Dreyfuss, and the Hollywood Theater of the Ear, Beyond 2000, as we try to unravel the paradoxes of By His Bootstraps. Bob Wilson did not see the circle grow. Nor, for that matter, did he see the stranger who stepped out of the circle and stood staring at the back of Wilson's neck. Stared and breathed heavily, as if laboring under strong and unusual emotion.
Nor is it valid to assume that a conceivable proposition is necessarily a possible proposition, even when it is possible to formulate mathematics which describes the proposition with exactness. A case in point is the spurious concept of time travel. Duration is an attribute of the consciousness and not of the plenum. It has no Ding und Sich. Therefore... Damn it.
Don't bother with it. It's a lot of bull.
Huh? Oh. Thank God, somebody's really there. For a minute, I thought I'd spaced out. Hey. Wait a minute. What are you doing in my room? That door's locked. How did you get in here?
Through that?
That? What the hell? A disc floating in the air. A big circle of nothing, just suspended like a special effect. Oh, my God, I was right the first time. I wonder when I slipped my trolley.
Don't touch it.
Why not?
I'll explain the whole thing, but let's have a drink first.
Hey. Hey! What do you think you're doing with my gin?
Your gin? Do you mind if I have a drink?
Can I stop you? Well, I guess it's all right. Pour me one while you're at it.
Okay. Then I'll explain.
It better be good.
Cheers.
Who is this guy? Hasn't shaved for days. Looks like he's been in a brawl and gotten the worst of it. What a shiner. Huh, swollen lip. I don't like his looks. But there's something familiar about him. I've seen him before, but where?
Who are you? Me? You don't recognize me?
Should I? Have I seen you before?
Well, not exactly. Skip it. You wouldn't know about it.
What's your name?
My name? Just call me Joe.
Okay, Joe, whatever your name is. Let's hear your explanation, and make it quick.
Fine. That dingus I came through, it's a time gate.
A what?
A time gate. Time flows along side by side on each side of the gate, but some thousands of years apart. Just how many thousands, I don't know. But for the next couple of hours, that gate is open. You can walk into the future just by stepping through that circle.
It's a nice story.
You don't believe me, do you? I'll show you.
Hey, that's my only hat. Don't throw it in.
It disappeared. It's gone.
Neat trick. Now, if you don't mind, I would like to have my hat back.
That hat's seen me through 6 years of academic life.
You can get it for yourself when you pass through.
Huh?
That's right. Now listen, this thing is a time gate. The other side of it is thousands of years from now. And the future is just waiting for you, and it is a great future. Here is an opportunity that comes once in a millennium, if that frequently. Now listen, you have not seen what I have seen. It's beautiful. You understand? And all you gotta do is climb through that circle. Look, it's very important that you hurry and go through. I can't explain it right now, but you won't regret it. Believe me.
I need another drink. Why should I go through this thing just on your say-so?
Oh, damn it. If you just step through once, explanations wouldn't be necessary. Look, on the other side, there's this old guy, see? He needs your help. Where, with your help, the three of us can run the whole country, split everything between us. It's ours for the taking.
What's he need me for?
I'm not sure, exactly. But that isn't the point. I mean, what have you got to lose? What's your alternative, huh? A degree? A nice, safe, boring academic career with grading papers and faculty teas and maybe a research grant or two to while away the lonely hours, huh? Facing a fresh crowd of turkeys every semester. Come on! This is your chance! Grab it!
You have a point. A PhD in teaching in some backwater college is not my idea of existence. But still, it beats working for a living.
Hey, look at the gin bottle. It's almost empty.
Oh, no. Sorry, old buddy. I'm not going to climb on your merry-go-round. And you want to know why?
Why?
Because I'm drunk. That's why. You're not there at all. And that, your friendly little neighborhood time machine...
Time gate.
Whatever. It's not there either. Nobody here but me, and I'm drunk. I've been working too hard. I'm going to go to bed.
You're not drunk.
I am too drunk. Peter Piper picked a pick of peppered pickles. See? Good night.
You can't do that.
Let him alone.
Now, who is this guy? What is this, open house? Whew. Wish I could focus. Hey, these guys could be brothers. Twins. Which is which? Oh, no, maybe I'm just seeing double. bad stuff, Jin. Should have switched to rum a long time ago. Good stuff, rum. You can drink it, or you can take a bath in it. No, that's Jin. That's Joe. Which one is Joe? Oh, yeah, he's the one with the black eye. Then, who is this other character?
Who are you?
He knows me.
Yeah, I suppose I do. What are you doing here? You're going to louse up the plan.
There's no time. I know more about it than you do, you'll admit that. And my judgment is bound to be better than yours. He does not go through the gate.
I don't admit anything of the kind.
Answer it.
Hello?
Bob Wilson.
Yeah? Who's this?
Never mind. Just wanted to be sure you were there. I thought you would. You're in the groove, friend. In the groove.
Hello? Hello? Creep.
What was it?
Nothing. Just some nut with a misplaced sense of humor. There he is again.
Listen, Toadstool, if you want a good chuckle, go set fire to your shorts, but leave me alone.
What a thing to say!
Oh, Lord.
Oh, hi, Genevieve. Look, I'm sorry.
I'd hope so.
No, you don't understand, honey. A guy who's been pestering me over the phone, and I just thought it was him. You know, I'd never talk to you like that, honey.
Oh, I think not. Particularly after all you said to me this afternoon about all we meant to each other.
What, this afternoon?
Of course. But what I called about was this. You left your hat at my apartment. I noticed it a few minutes ago and just thought I'd call and tell you. Anyhow, it gave me an excuse to hear your voice again.
My hat? Sure, fine. Look, babe, I'm a little confused. Why don't I come over tonight and straighten it out? I know I didn't leave your hat in my apartment.
Your hat, sweetheart.
Get her off the phone.
All right, yeah. Anyhow, I'll see you tonight. Bye.
Oh, that woman is getting to be a problem. Hallucinations yet.
Okay, Joe. I'm ready if you are.
When did I decide that?
Fine! Just step through.
Wait a minute.
Hey, listen, you. Who the hell do you think you are anyway? You want to make something of it, you? You and what army?
Hey, let go of him!
Stay out of this! I got everything under...
Oh! Are you all right?
Ooh, I guess so.
Oh, my mouth hurts. It's swollen.
was like a softball.
My head hurts.
No doubt. You came through rather hard.
Came through?
He knocked me right through that thing. Ah, this... That must be the old guy Joe talked about. Middle-aged. Beard. Funny outfit. Purple pajamas. Maybe he's an inmate. This looks like the padded cell of some kind of nut house. Oh, there's that damn circle. Oh, my head.
Where am I?
The Hall of the Gate in the High Palace of Norkal. But what is important is when you are. You have gone forward a little more than 30,000 years.
Now I know I'm crazy.
Where are you going?
Back.
Not so fast. You'll go back all right, I promise you that. But first let me dress your wounds. You need rest as well. I have some explanations to make to you, and there is an errand that you can do for me when you get back, to our mutual advantage. There's a great future in store for you and me, my boy. A great future.
What is this used car salesman routine?
I don't like this.
Wouldn't you like a drink before you go?
Huh. Say the secret word, divide $100.
Okay.
Come with me.
Hell of a layout you have here.
It's not mine. Well, rather it is. I inherited it, you could say. It was built by the Grand Ones, as the natives call them.
And what do they call you?
Call me Dictor. Everyone else does.
Okay, Dictor. I'm,
Bob Wilson, I know.
Oh, I guess Joe told you, huh?
I don't know anybody named Joe.
You know? Well, then, maybe you're not the guy that I'm supposed to see.
But I am. I've been expecting you, in a way. Joe! It had slipped my mind for a moment. He told you to call him Joe, did he?
Well, isn't that his name?
It's as good as any. Here we are. Sit down.
There's no chair.
The floor is soft. You'll be comfortable.
Oh, hey, you're right. AstroTurf for shut-ins, huh?
Drink up.
Join me?
Later. Let me take care of your wounds first.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Mind if I have another?
Help yourself.
Oh. It's a naive domestic burgundy. Without any breeding. But I think you'll be amused by its presumption. You remember that? It's James Thurber. It's... No. Of course not. You wouldn't remember. It was before your time.
Good day. Ah, yes, sir. The thesis is done. Hey, no, it isn't.
Hey.
Feeling better?
I do, as a matter of fact. Say, what is this?
We'll get to that. How about some breakfast? Lauren Kiboto.
Oh, my God.
Dufty Nolis, Dictor?
Be still, my beating heart.
Up to.
Hi, Dictor.
She'll lay the breakfast things out for you. The girl's tray is filled with fruit. None of it will be familiar to you, I'm afraid, but you'll find it quite edible.
I'd like to nibble on her a little bit.
How about a little sunshine? Now, let me start with some background. It's not certain who the Grand Ones were, or where they came from, or where they went when they left the Earth.
I think I just left the Earth. Oh, baby, won't you come with me?
I am inclined to think that they went away into time.
It's time she and I had a little tete-a-tete.
In any case... They ruled more than 20,000 years and completely obliterated human culture as you know it.
What I know is that's a swell outfit she has on, almost.
What is more important to you and me is the effect they had on the human psyche.
If I could probe her psyche, that'd be pretty important.
One 20th century go-getter can accomplish just about anything he wants to around here. Aren't you listening?
Huh? Oh, yeah, sure. Say, that is one mighty pretty girl.
Hmm. I suppose so. She's not exceptional, as women go around here.
That's hard to believe.
You like her? Very well. She's yours.
What?
She's a slave. Don't react. There are slaves by nature. If you like her, I'll make you a present of her. It'll make her happy. Her name is Arma. Kuiksalai. Touch her forehead.
Choisi fia qui est?
Nemo plesla choisi. Zobelaram. I told her that, notwithstanding her new status, you wished her to continue serving breakfast. As a matter of fact, another course should be ready just about now. Right on time.
15 olas, Dictor.
Up to.
Hi, Dictor.
As I was saying, one 20th century go-getter can write his own ticket here. Of course, responsibilities must be taken seriously.
Maybe I was a little hasty letting this Dictor give Arma to me. This new girl has a certain je ne sais quoi that I would like to qua very much. Either the standard of pulchritude has gone up incredibly in the last 30,000 years, or Dictor goes to a lot of pains with his personal retinue. I don't know what that is you're fiddling with, darling, but if you straighten up soon, you'll make me very unhappy.
For that reason, it is necessary that you go back through the time gate twice more. And after that, it's share and share alike for you and me. And there is plenty to share. You're not listening.
Hmm? Oh, sure. No, I was, Chief. Say, you got a razor I could borrow?
Keep your eyes off the hired help and listen to
Yeah, me. Sure. Hey, listen, I'm your man, you know? When do we start?
Oh, bye-bye, PhD. Hello, pulchritude.
Then come with me.
Where are we going?
Back to the time gate.
These controls difficult to operate?
Not particularly. Now, all you have to do is step through the gate and you will find yourself back in your own room in your own time. Persuade the man you find there to go through the gate we have need of him. And then come back here
yourself. Piece of cake, Chief.
Wait, you're not used to time travel. I warn you, you are going to get one hell of a shock. This other man, you're going to recognize him.
Uh-huh. Who is he?
Well, when you see him, it'll all come clear. Just don't let anything throw you.
Okay.
A paradox, a most amusing paradox.
Spare me the serenade. Everything's ready. Go on through.
Check.
This is my room, all right. Who the hell is that guy pounding on my typewriter? I don't mind the renting my room, but... Wait a minute. That guy does look familiar. If you'd only turn around. Oh, he smokes my brand. Hey... He's wearing my clothes. What nerve! That son of a... Wait a minute. He's wearing the same clothes I'm wearing. Haven't we both... No, don't tell me. What's he typing? Look at him waste that smoke. Only half burned. I used to do that when I was working. Nor is it valid to assume that a conceivable proposition is necessarily... He's typing my thesis! My God! He's me! Jeez! Gee, oh, Dictor said I was in for a shock. And then again, why should I be shocked? If time travel is possible, why can't I come back and see myself doing something that I did in the past?
Damn it. Don't bother with it. It's a lot of bull. Huh? What are you doing in my room? That door's locked. How did you get in here?
Through that.
That? Don't touch it. Why not?
That's a good question. Why do I stop him?
I'll explain the whole thing, but let's have a drink first.
Boy, do I need one.
Hey, hey! What do you think you're doing with my gin? Your gin?
Huh. It is his liquor. No, it's ours. No. Oh, well.
Sorry. Do you mind if I have a drink?
Well, I guess it's all right. Pour me one while you're at it.
Okay. Then I'll explain.
Better be good.
Cheers.
Look at him. Giving me the once-over. What a jerk. Can he recognize his own face? Well, then again, he's been going at that paper for 30 hours straight. And I have a swollen lip. And a black eye. Nuts. Well, if he can't see what the situation is, then how am I going to tell him?
Who are you?
Me? You don't recognize me?
Should I? Have I seen you before?
Well, not exactly.
Don't even bother.
Skip it. You wouldn't know about it.
What's your name?
My name?
How do you tell another guy that the two of you are a mite closer than twins?
Just call me Joe.
Uh-oh, deja vu. This is all a little familiar. I'm Joe. That clears up that little mystery.
Okay, Joe, whatever your name is. Let's hear your explanation, and make it quick.
Where is free will in all of this? I don't have to live this scene again word for word, do I? Hell no, I'll just say something, anything. Mary had a little lamb. Get off this treadmill. Come on, do it. Do it! Oh, what the hell?
Fine. That dingus I came through, it's a time gate. A what? A time gate.
Stop me if you've heard this before.
time flows along side by side on each side of the gate, but some thousands of years apart. Just how many thousands, I don't know.
These are the same goddamn words.
But for the next couple of hours, that gate is open.
Mary had a little time. Its gate is wide as...
You can walk into the future just by stepping through that circle.
It's a nice story.
Is that guy me? He's pretty stupid.
You don't believe me, do you? I'll show you. Hey, that's my only hat. Don't throw it in.
Neat trick. Now, if you don't mind, I would like to have my hat back. That hat's seen me through 6 years of academic life.
You can get it for yourself when you pass through.
Come to think of it, Dictor must have one hell of a hat collection.
That's right. Now listen, this thing is a time gate. The other side of it is thousands of years.
That's it. Come on, Bob Wilson. Lay it on thick. I can't explain anything to this moron. I do better talking tensor calculus to an Australian Aborigine, and I don't even understand that. And again, do I understand this? Put that drink down and look intelligent.
Look, it's very important that you hurry and go through. I can't explain it right now, but you won't regret it. Believe me.
I need another drink.
Great!
Why should I go through this thing just on your say-so?
Oh, damn it. If you just step through once, explanations wouldn't be necessary. Look, on the other side, there's this old guy, see? He needs your help.
Why does he need our help?
With your help, the three of us can run the whole country, split everything between us. It's ours for the taking.
Yeah, that guy Dictor didn't tell me very much, did he?
What's he need me for? I'm not sure exactly. But that isn't the point. I mean, what have you got to lose?
That's it. I'll get him where he lives.
What's your alternative, huh? A degree? A nice, safe, boring academic career with grading papers and faculty teas and maybe a research grant or two to while away the lonely hours, huh? Facing a fresh crowd of turkeys every semester. Come on! This is your chance! Grab it!
You have a point. A PhD in teaching in some backwater college is not my idea of existence. Well, still, it beats working for a living. Sorry, old buddy. I'm not going to climb on your merry-go-round. And you want to know why?
Why?
Because I'm drunk. That's why. You're not there at all. And that, your friendly little neighborhood time machine...
Time gate.
Whatever. It's not there either. Nobody here but me, and I'm drunk. I've been working too hard. I'm going to go to bed.
You're not drunk.
Man who can't hold his liquor shouldn't drink.
I am too drunk. Peter Piper picked a pick of pippin' pickles. See? Good night.
You can't do that.
Let him alone.
Oh, no. I forgot about him. He's me, too. Why didn't I remember he was due to show up? I could have planned something.
Who are you?
He knows me.
Yeah. Suppose I do. What are you doing here? You're going to louse up the plan, you know?
There's no time. I know more about it than you do, you'll admit that. And my judgment is bound to be better than yours. He does not go through the gate.
Why, you arrogant son of a...
I don't admit anything of the kind.
Answer it.
Hello?
Yeah, who's this?
Hello? Hello?
Creep.
What was it?
Nothing, just some nut with a misplaced sense of humor. There he is again.
Listen, Toadstool, if you want a good chuckle, go set fire to your shorts, but leave me alone.
Oh, hi, Genevieve. Look, I'm sorry.
Oh, for crying out loud. Hang up on that simpering, clinging vine already.
You know,
it's nauseating to hear you fawning when Arma and friend are waiting just 30,000 years away.
What, this afternoon?
Bob Wilson, you shouldn't get involved with women 30,000 years younger than you. Talk about pederasty.
Yeah. Anyhow, I'll see you tonight. Bye. Okay, Joe. I'm ready if you are.
Fine. Just step through.
Wait a minute.
Do it.
Hey, listen, you. Who the hell do you think you are anyway? You want to make something of it, you? You and what army?
All right, hey, let go of him. Stay out of this.
I got everything under...
Now you've done it. Me? You knocked him through the gate. I never laid a finger on him.
But I'm ready to lay a few on you.
It's your fault. If you hadn't interfered, I wouldn't have had to do it.
Why, you...
Just cool it. It's too late anyway. He's gone through.
Too late for what?
Too late to break the chain of events.
Why should we?
Because Dictor's played me, played you, played us. For a dope, a pair of dopes. Look, he told you he was going to set you up as a big shot over there, didn't he?
Yeah.
All talk. What he means to do is to get us inextricably tangled in this time game while he rakes in all the chips.
That could be true. Certainly what's happened so far hasn't made much sense. After all, why should Dictor want my help? And badly enough to fork over half of his cushy setup.
How do you know? Oh, why go into it?
Can't you take my word for it?
Why should I?
If you can't trust me, who can you trust?
That's pretty galling. It's inescapably logical, but it's galling. I'm tired. I'm really tired of just doing what I'm told, like a trained dog.
I'll take my chances.
Where are you going?
I'm gonna have it out with Dictor.
No! Maybe we can break the chain even now.
Go ahead. It's your funeral.
Oh, yeah? Well, if it is, then it's your funeral, too. Remember that. Ciao, baby.
You are tuned to listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifico Radio, New York City, WBAI at 99.5 FM, and you are listening to the premiere episode of a series called Beyond 2000. Oops, and I seem to have the wrong thing queued up here. I thought I had the correct bit, but that is not. So just bear with me, please. The story that you are listening to, starring Richard Dreyfuss, is by Robert Anson Heinlein from 1941 and is entitled By His Bootstraps. Here's part two.
Receive free detailed information about Beyond 2000 and other dramatic offerings by the Hollywood Theater of the Ear by calling a toll-free number. I'll be giving out the number at the end of today's program to give you a chance to have pencil and paper.
Actually, bear in mind, that number is probably no longer good, and I'm very sad to say the producer of the show has shuffled off the mortal coil.
Looking for something?
My hat.
I've got one more little thing to take care of before we're all squared away. I must say I am pleased with you, Bob. Very pleased indeed.
Sorry. I can't say the same about you. What's the idea, huh? Shoving me into that daisy chain without a warning.
Calm down. If I told you that you were going back to meet yourself face to face, would you have believed me?
Okay, but you can tell me now. Why did you send me through the gate?
So that you could come through in the first place.
But I had come through.
Really? Then who was it that you found working on your thesis?
Me.
But you hadn't been through the gate yet.
Well, no, I...
So how could you have been through the gate unless you persuaded yourself to go through the gate?
Are you telling me... Wait, are you telling me that I did something because I was going to do something?
Well, didn't you? You were there.
No, I didn't. Well, yeah, maybe I did, but it didn't feel like... Well, hold it. Come on. I'm a physicist. This is impossible. It denies all reasonable theories of causation. I went through because I came back from going through to persuade myself to go through. I mean, that's absurd.
Well, didn't you? Don't worry about it. The causation you have been accustomed to is valid enough in its own field, but is simply a special case under the general case. Causation in a plenum need not be and is not limited by one's perception of duration.
Sounds nice, but slippery.
How about entropy? You can't get around entropy.
You remind me of the mathematician who proved that aeroplanes couldn't fly. Come on, there's work to be done.
Damn it, you can't do this to me! Now, just what happened to the other two? The other two Bob Wilsons? How am I ever going to get unsnarled?
You aren't snarled. You don't feel like more than one person, do you?
Well, no, but...
Then don't worry about it.
But I've got to. What happened to the guy who came through just ahead of me?
Don't you remember? Look.
It's him. Asleep. Black eye, thick lip and all. Look at him. Curled up there in a drunken stupor.
Remember when I brought you here to dress your wounds? I gave you a drink. The drink contained a soporific that put you away for about 36 hours. Sleep you badly needed. And when you wake up, I'll give you breakfast and tell you what has to be done.
Don't do that. Don't call him me. I'm me.
Have it your own way.
Close the door, please.
Just as well. We've got to hurry. Now, once a sequence like this is established, there's no time to waste. I want you to return to the 20th century and obtain certain things for us.
What sort of things?
A good number of items. I've got a list. Excuse me. I must set the controls.
Maybe how to run this thing.
It's a very interesting little gizmo. How does it work?
I don't know the mechanics, just the operation. These control space positioning, see? Up, down, forward, back, left and right. This controls time, past and future.
How can you tell where and when you are?
You look through this. Try it yourself.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my room, all right. And that's me there, and that's me too. Oh, and it's creepy.
Well, all right. Thank you. I've seen enough.
Good. Oh, mustn't forget to give you your list. Here.
He's railroading me.
You know, everywhere I go, I keep bumping into myself, and I don't like it. I feel like a whole cage full of guinea pigs. And now you want to rush me off again, and I don't know any more than I did before. Now what is going on?
You stupid, ignorant young fool. It would take weeks before you even started grasping what this all is. Months. I'm offering you half a world in return for a few hours' cooperation, and you argue with me.
Okay, Buster. No dicky, no washy.
Get away from those controls.
Something's dawning on me. In a minute, I'll have it.
Who are you?
I'm Dictor.
Come off it. You know what I mean. How did you learn English? I know you didn't learn it here. Huh? You're from my time, aren't you?
I wonder how long it would take you to figure that out.
Well, maybe I'm not bright, but I'm not as stupid as you think. Come on, give me the rest of the story.
We're wasting time.
You've given me the rush with that line once too often. How can we waste time when we have that? Unless you lied to me, we can use any slice of time we want whenever we want to. Now, something's fishy, and I know how to settle it. You're coming with me.
You don't know what you're saying. Who'll manage the controls?
Not you, buddy. You'd send me through and lose me. I prefer to keep you in plain sight.
Out of the question.
I said keep away from those controls. There. That's better.
Now, if I'm right, this thing is still set for my room.
Stay right there. I want to see something.
And one leg up, and we're through the gate.
Nobody here but me, and I'm drunk. I've been working too hard. I'm going to go to bed. You're not drunk.
Well, well, well. Here I am, back at the beginning. This time I'll put a stop to this carousel.
Peter Piper picked the pickle, pepper, pickles. See? Good night.
You can't do that!
Let him alone.
I see the guy with the shiner recognizes me. The other one. Oh, this is going to be a job. He's stinko. Why would anybody pack so much booze away on an empty stomach? It wastes good booze. And I hope they left me something to drink.
Who are you?
He knows me.
Yeah, suppose I do. What are you doing here? You're going to louse up the plan, you know?
There's no time. I know more about it than you do, you'll admit that. And my judgment is bound to be better than yours. He does not go through the gate.
I don't admit anything of the kind.
Answer it.
Hello? Yeah, who's this?
Oh, nuts, I started this all wrong. Am I really as dumb as this guy? Do I come off like that to everybody?
Hello? Hello?
Creep.
What was it?
Nothing, just some nut with a misplaced sense of humor. There he is again.
Listen, Toadstool, if you want a good chuckle, go set fire to your shorts, but leave me alone.
Oh, hi, Genevieve. Look, I'm sorry.
Gotta make a plan.
No, you don't.
Now, this one is too drunk to be reasonable, so it's Joe that I gotta convince. I get his help, then we'll be two against one. I can deck the drunk. Joe will be a handful. Yeah, right. Work on Joe.
Sure, fine. Look, babe, I'm a little confused. Why don't I come over tonight and straighten it out? I know I didn't leave your hat in my apartment. Yeah. Anyhow, I'll see you tonight. Bye. Okay, Joe. I'm ready if you are.
This ain't what I planned.
Just step through.
Wait a minute.
Hey, listen, you. Who the hell do you think you are anyway? You want to make something of it, you? You and what army?
All right, I'll just put them away fast.
Stay out of this. I got everything under...
Lord, I've knocked them through again.
Now you've done it.
Me? You knocked him through the gate. I never laid a finger on him.
It's your fault. If you hadn't interfered, I wouldn't have had to do it.
Why, you...
Just cool it.
Lord, I hate being wrong. Well, it was hopeless from the start.
It's too late anyway. He's gone through.
Too late for what?
Too late to break the chain of events.
It was too late from the beginning. The process has to work itself out. It can't be stopped.
Why should we?
Because Dictor's played me, played you, played us for a dope, a pair of dopes.
Oh, what's the use? But damn it, I'm right.
Look, he told you he was going to set you up as a big shot over there, didn't he?
Yeah.
All talk. What he means to do is to get us inextricably tangled in this time gate while he rakes in all the chips.
How do you know?
How do I know? It's a hunch, that's all.
Oh, why go into it? Can't you take my word for it?
Why should I?
How arrogant can you get?
If you can't trust me, who can you trust?
I'll take my chances.
Where are you going?
I'm going to have it out with Jictor.
No! Maybe we can break the chain even now.
Oh, he's not going to listen to reason.
Okay, go ahead. It's your funeral.
Oh, yeah? Well, if it is, then it's your funeral, too. Remember that. Ciao, baby.
Whose funeral? Hadn't thought of it quite that way. Maybe I ought to go after that guy and make sure he doesn't get into a jam. Hey, suppose he gets himself killed? Where would that leave me? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. He won't do anything. He can't. He can't do anything that I'm not going to do first. And if that's true, then the whole McGill is straightened out. I got away from Dictor. All the various Bob Wilsons are sorted out. And I'm back in my room. No worse than before. Except for needing a shave. Okay. First a shave. And then back to the grindstone. Obviously, the thesis has to be rewritten from scratch.
Yep.
Is that you, Bob?
Who's this?
Well, that's the second time you haven't recognized me today.
Genevieve, I've asked you not to phone me while I'm working.
Working? You weren't working this afternoon.
Just buzz off, okay?
Well, what makes you think you can sweet-talk me one minute and bark at me the next? I'm not any too sure I want to marry you anymore.
Marry you? You're taking a lot for granted, aren't you, kid?
Oh, you! No, so that's the game, is it? My father's a lawyer, a judge. There's a way to handle men like you.
You've had plenty of practice manhandling, my dear.
Oh, you're gonna pay for that. Pay for it! Pay for it!
She's gonna make things pretty hot for me. Somehow, I don't think this thesis is gonna get done by 10 a.m. tomorrow. It's already 4 in the afternoon, even if I sat up all night. And then there's Genevieve. 30,000 years from now is looking mighty good to me. The time gate is still there. Is that the smart thing to do? That's it.
Come on, there's work to be done.
Damn it, you can't...
Whew, that was close. All right, what now? Ah, of course. The gate's my best advantage. If I can figure out the controls... Can't see too well. It was so bright in here before.
Hey, here's my hat. Glad to have you back, chapeau of mine. Now, let's see. I should have a match somewhere. Oh, Dictor's shopping list. A funny bunch of stuff on here. Still, it has certain logic of its own. Dictor does know the territory better than I do. Still... Hey... If I can work the gate... Yeah! I'll load up with all this, but for my benefit, not his. Yeah! I'll go back one more time. If I can get this thing to work.
Oh, hi, Bob.
Hi, Soup. Can you cash a check for me?
How much?
50.
Huh, I suppose so. It's good, isn't it, the check?
Not very. It's my own.
Yeah, all right. Well, I might invest in it as a curiosity.
I'll be needing a couple of items while I'm at it.
Like, for instance?
Well, some books. Machiavelli's The Prince, Behind the Ballots by James Farley, Mein Kampf, and How to Win Friends and
Influence People. Hold on. One at a time.
Well, let me write out the list for you. And then if you could pull these things for me while I run over to Maxwell's and get some other supplies.
Millennia is past the statute of limitations on bad checks, I presume.
Kinda early for Christmas shopping, ain't it?
Right here. Pull up to this alley. Now, can you wait a minute, please? I gotta pile all this stuff in the alley.
In the alley? What are you, a fence or something? Is this stuff hot?
It's gone. I left the time gate here! No mistaking, now it's gone!
Hey, Mac, you want my cab or don't you? The meter's still running.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Where to?
That's a problem. Where can you go at this hour? Say, what hour is it?
Say, you got the time?
2:15.
No wonder it hasn't gotten dark. The machine was set for earlier in the day. That means the time gate should be back at the room. Oh, yeah, but so are my blood brothers. Let me see, I finally left there around when? 4:15. Now, if I timed it right...
Drive to the corner of 4th and McKinley.
Darling.
working today?
Nope, not at all. Got time to burn. Well, you going to invite me in? Where can I hang this hat?
At the tone, the time will be 3:26 and 20 seconds.
Bob Wilson.
Yeah, who's this?
Never mind. Just wanted to be sure you were there. I thought you would. You're in the groove, friend. In the groove. Well, just another 40 minutes to kill, and then they will all be gone. Well, that's the last of the goodies. Now, if I can just have about 5 minutes with these controls. Oh, Dictor would kill me if he finds me. Well, since I'm 30,000 years in the future, a decade or two won't matter to anybody, except to me. Now, I gotta set this up to let me out right here. There we go, maybe 10 years earlier. Now, if I can get a 10-year head start, I may just end up the big cheese before Dictor even shows his face in these parts. After all, he admitted he was a 20th century man. There we go. Now, drag everything through the gate one more time, and if I'm lucky, I'll beat him here. So far, so good. Looks like the palace is completely empty. Boy, whoever the grand ones were who built this place, they sure had a strange idea of architecture. Well, here's the main entrance. Boy, those grand ones must have been pretty big cats. Or else they just liked plenty of headroom. Hark. Cavorting of the indigenous populace is heard without. Well, I guess it's time to find out if the natives are as friendly as advertised. Well, they've seen me. Don't seem to be running. Ain't coming closer, either. Oh, I get it. The palace is taboo. And by extension, so am I. Well, make the most out of it, Wilson, my lad. See if you can look important. Boy, the women are sure gorgeous. Anyway, here goes.
How? Me, Big Cheese. Me, Great White Grad Student. Me want food. Food, me hungry. Bring food. Well, don't just stand there, do something.
Dictor.
Oh, that's where he got the name. It's a title. Well, when Dictor 1 shows up, we'll just have to see who winds up head Dictor around here. Hey, they're kneeling. I like that. Oh, hell, this is like taking candy from a baby.
Like taking candy from a baby, you once said.
I recall that thought once crossing my mind many years ago.
10 years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
10 years, you're right.
You were wrong. These last 10 years haven't been exactly carefree.
Well, not lazy and irresponsible, no. I've had many responsibilities.
Yes, after all, you were the ruler of an entire world.
Albeit a benign and surpassingly pleasant one.
Well, still, it's taken its toll. Your beard is streaked with gray.
Well, it makes me look distinguished, I think.
And rumor has it that you've started talking to yourself.
You don't mean it.
I'm serious. Talking to yourself, that's what they say.
You think it's true?
Well, I like to think of myself as an impartial third party. But that's not all.
What else could there be?
Your memory. Your memory is going.
Come off it. I'm only, what, 32 or 33? That only happens to very old men.
Well, you're 30,000 years older than most men.
What's wrong with my memory?
Have you forgotten? It's your 10th anniversary. You've been Dictor here for about 10 years.
Well, that means it was about this time that I first came through the gate.
Exactly. And you notice something? You had all these contingency plans for when you met up with this other Dictor gent. And yet in all this time, he's never shown.
That's right. And I haven't seen any of my little selves running around the palace either.
Ever get curious?
Curious about what?
About where everybody is, about the Time Gate.
Oh, no. I've been cured of curiosity about the Time Gate. Hey, remember that time when I was fiddling with it, and I actually caught a glimpse of one of the grand ones through the viewer?
How could I forget it?
We haven't been to the Hall of the Gate since.
Still, aren't you even the least bit curious about the other Dictor and all those other Bob Wilsons? After all, one great white father is all this place will support. What should happen if...
Oh, I catch your drift. Could create a scene, couldn't it? What should we do?
Well, maybe we should open the gate and probe around. See what the viewer will show us.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, we're here.
We're here. Yes, in the Hall of the Gate.
Yes, and you are, even as we speak, sitting at the controls.
Why, so I am.
See what I mean about your memory?
We can dispense with the sarcasm.
Then turn the thing on.
Now what?
Well, why don't you see if you can find your old digs at the university?
I'll be lucky to find the 20th century. I'm a bit rusty at this.
Well, the time is the easiest part. Hey, there, hold it right there. Looks about right time-wise. Let's see if we can get this down in your room.
Well, that looks like Philadelphia.
Well, you're on the right continent. Now that's better. Oh, there's Billings Hall. That's the university.
I think if I adjust this north just a few blocks... We were north, weren't we?
Oh, there's Manny's. Remember Manny's?
Only too well. Shall we go on?
Now you're getting warmer. There's the girls' dorm.
We were the next two buildings over, weren't we?
That's right. You've got it. There's the broom closet.
Well, if I can get this thing up two flights...
Very good. There's the head of the stairs. Now, they don't go up to another landing, so we must be at the third floor.
If I can just maneuver this to the end of the hall...
Watch it, watch it, watch it. No, no, no. That's Jake Krabinski's room.
I know, I know. Fine-tuning this thing isn't easy, you know.
Just keep it going straight. That's it. That's it. Straighten it. Now right through that door.
What's that?
Look there on the floor. Somebody's fallen through the gate.
Who is it? Krabinski?
Oh, my God. My God, my God.
What? What is it?
It's me. It's me, 10 years younger. I've fallen through. I've been punched through the gate. Just the way it happened 10 years ago.
30,010 years ago. What of it? You knew it could happen.
Yes. But we're the only ones here. You know what that means? I'm Dictor. The only Dictor. There's never been another Dictor.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that I don't have to wait until he arrives for a showdown. There's never gonna be one because I'm him. He's me.
Well, that can't be right. What about all the little details?
What details?
Well, Arma, for instance. Remember Arma? The girl that Dictor gave you. You named that servant girl after her. Where is the original?
Arma is the original. That's the answer. They're one and the same. Arma Senior and Arma Junior, the same person.
But the original was prettier.
Oh, you're just jaded. I tell you, there's only one Dictor, and you're talking to him.
You're right.
All right, now he's waking up. Pull yourself together. Remember, you're Dictor. You've got to help him. He's gonna have a good life, a grand life. A life that beats anything the ancient past had to offer, and you have to see to it. You'll have to make a list of books for him to get. Books that will prepare him for creating this place. And
hey, if God created the world, who created God?
Cut out the philosophical stuff, will you? Before he catches you at it. You haven't the ghost of a chance of figuring this out, so why try? Just enjoy it. You're hot. Like a gambler who knows what the next roll of the dice is gonna be. Come on! His eyes are open. Talk to him. Say anything.
Are you all right?
Ooh, I guess so. My head hurts.
No doubt. You came through rather hard.
Came through? Where am I?
The Hall of the Gate in the High Palace of Norkal. But what is important is when you are. You have gone forward a little more than 30,000 years. Where are you going?
Back.
Not so fast. You'll go back all right, I promise you that. But first let me dress your wounds. You need rest as well. I have some explanations to make to you, and there is an errand that you can do for me when you get back, to our mutual advantage. There's a great future in store for you and me, my boy. A great future.
You have been listening to Richard Dreyfuss, starring in Robert A. Heinlein's By His Bootstraps, dramatized, produced, and directed by Yuri Rosovsky for the Hollywood Theater of the Ear. In our cast, Cordis Hurd, Ira Burton, and Kasia Marciniak. By His Bootstraps by Robert A. Heinlein is available in The Menace from Earth from Bain Books. Let me tell you a thing about Richard Dreyfuss. Richard Dreyfuss, Ricky as I know him, Ricky Dreyfuss is one of the most courageous guys I know, apart from being an enormously talented guy.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Harlan. I think it was the fiction that we had all bought into over there to hear By His Bootstraps, and not necessarily Harlan totally reminiscing, as he has every right to do, over Ricky Dreyfuss. But, you know, hey, God knows there's no bigger name dropper in the world than me. So, you know, I should forbid Harlan? Not that anybody could. You're tuned to WBAI in New York City, listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifico Radio, broadcasting at 99.5 FM and webcasting over WBAI.org. And this program is Hour of the Wolf, now starting its 42nd year as of this month. My name is Jim Freund, and this is a weekly program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, and related fields of endeavor. If you would like to call up, and I see at least already one person is doing that, and discuss By His Bootstraps or the works of Heinlein, which are a complicated thing, the telephone number here at WBAI is area code 917-580-6020. Next week on this program, by the way, you'll be hearing a variant on that phone number at 6021. In other words, yes, it's fundraising time yet again. Every third week, it feels like, but, you know, we're in dire straits, and I don't mean the rock band. Okay, it's good morning, you're on the radio.
Good morning.
Good morning, after, Robert.
After having heard this opus into Temporal Insanity.
Is that, by the way, a great performance?
It's beautiful. By the way, you don't sound like him at all. I'm sorry. You're a great friend.
Maybe I did 20 years ago, and actually...
You think so?
Well, let's put it this way. No, I don't. But people who don't know that I'm on the radio or anything have said, you know, you sound like Richard Dreyfuss.
You look like him. Really?
No, I sound like him.
Oh, you sound? Okay. Because I thought you said before somebody said
that. Some idiot said that,
okay,
I look
well,
like him.
It wasn't me. Anyway, after that temporal dodge, the only thing I can think of is a classic line from a Popeye cartoon when he said, If I'm not me, who am I? And if I'm somebody else, why do I look like me?
Yes.
Now, having said that, that is going to be one of my favorite time travel stories, along with all you zombies.
Well, it and all you zombies. I mean, the one is, you know, and there's a chicken or egg kind of thing there because
they're very similar.
They are very, very similar stories. I think that all you zombies is slightly better polished, but I think that By His Bootstraps has a greater elegance.
Now, having said that, I once recommended a time travel story to you to read by Mac Reynolds called Compound Interest, which is one of my three or four favorites. The other one that I thought about, I think it's a Frederick Pohl story called The Deadly Mission of Phineas Snodgrass, which has been anthologized. The last time I found it was in a book dedicated to L. Sprague de Camp called The Enchanter Complete.
Ah, yes.
Completed. And it's one of those...
Before that DeCamp had a book called The Complete, C-O-M-P-L-E-A-T, yes. Enchanters. So.
Right, but this was a fest trip. This was a book done in his honor.
Yeah, I know. I'm just explaining to listeners title.
But this was absolutely wonderful. I mean, the whole idea of this also reminds me. You once either read or produced you read a Stanislaw Lem story about a guy in a spaceship.
The Tales of Perks, yes. The Pilot. Never heard of it. Yeah.
And by the time the story is complete, I think there are 321 perks.
No, there are many, many, many more than that.
More than the 300?
There are thousands. There is not by the end of the story, but at one point in the story.
A wonderful story.
And they did a variant on that story, the second episode of Red Dwarf.
Really?
Yes, the second episode of Red Dwarf did a riff on that.
Well, like I say, this was absolutely fun. So you're going to be up in our neighborhood next week.
Don't know when the move is going to happen, but we are going to be moving. We are told temporarily to facilities in CCNY.
My old stomping ground.
And how temporary that is. The last time we were told that we were moving to a temporary space was when we moved from the church on 62nd Street to 35th Street and 8th Avenue. And we were that was going to be for 1 or 2 years, and we were there for 19 years. So I'm not saying that that's going to happen here. I'm just going to say with BAI, who the bleep knows?
Who knows? Well, I will see you next Tuesday night for the reading. It sounds interesting. And before I forget, Friday being a Celtic holiday, happy Imbolc.
Thank you. And likewise. And I was going to play a song, I'm just reminded, after that reading. And given that it's a time travel story, just pretend that I'm playing it after the reading. A song, by the way, that is featured in All You Zombies.
This song was inspired by a massive hangover and the Jerry Springer Show. I woke up in a hotel room one time after having a really fun night on stage. My head hurt, my belly hurt, my hand hurt, my voice hurt, and everything else as well. I didn't know what time it was, I didn't know what state I was in, didn't know what city I was in. So what I did in a hotel room, as you do when you're on tour, is you put on the TV and you look for CNN and you start flicking through the stations looking for CNN because they have a little clock.
And sometimes when you're playing a song, you fast forward past all of the Folk Music Cafe intro and get to the song itself.
Now I'm sitting there.
Still not? Wow. 2 minutes in and he hasn't started singing. Let's just get to it.
Many, many years ago, when I was 23, I was married to a widow who was pretty as can be. The widow had a grown-up daughter who had hair of red. My father fell in love with her, and soon the two were wed. That made my dad my son-in-law, and it changed my very life. My daughter was my mother, 'cause she was my father's wife. So complicates the matter, even though it brought me joy. I soon became the father of a bouncing baby boy. I'm my own grandpa. Let's hear you singing. I'm my own grandpa. Sounds funny, I know, but it really is so. I'm my own grandpa. My baby boy, he then became a brother-in-law to Dad. So he was my uncle, and that made me very sad. 'Cause if he was my uncle, then that also made him brother of the widow's grown-up daughter, who of course is my stepmother. My father's wife then had a son who kept him on the run. So he was my grandchild, 'cause he was my daughter's son. The wife is now my mother's mother, and it makes me blue. Because although she is my wife, she's my grandmother too. I'm my own grandpa.
Let's everybody at home sing.
I'm my own grandpa. Sounds funny, I know, but it really is so. I'm my own grandpa.
Well, here at WBAI, we tend to think of people as mothers. But anyway, this is Hour of the Wolf. My name is Jim Freund. And as I said, actually, if you read All You Zombies by Robert A. Heinlein, and if you like that story, if you liked By His Bootstraps, find yourself a Robert Heinlein collection and read All You Zombies. It is... And as this person walks in, the song I'm My Own Grandpa is playing on the jukebox in the background. And of course, everybody in the story, I'll give you the spoiler. The last line in the story, when it becomes so evident that so many of the characters are this one character, the last line of the story is, I know who I am, but who are all you zombies? And that's where the title comes from, and I'm My Own Grandpa then plays into it. We have 1 minute left before a listener is going to come to these airwaves with, 1 minute left before I start my outro, so listener can come to these airwaves with Burn Baby Burn Clever. But in that minute, I will be telling you again, like live reading series? Of course you do. Who doesn't like science fiction live reading series? Well, you're a person of discerning taste. I can tell because you're listening to WBAI in the middle of the night. Well, maybe it's a podcast. But this coming Tuesday, February 5th, of course, if you're listening to a podcast, it might be after February 5th, then you need one of those time machines that you step through in order to come back and go to the series. We are going to have Paul Witkover and Sarah McCary. Sarah McCary is the author of All Our Pretty Songs, coming from St. Martin's Press, la-di-da, in July 2013. And also she is the publisher of Guillotine, a chapbook series dedicated to revolutionary nonfiction. She is a former Seattleite. Paul Witkover will be our other reader, former curator of the New York Review of Science Fiction Reading Series. He has a new novel out, The Emperor of All Things, coming out on Valentine's Day in the UK. And it's the first of two books, the second one being Eternity in Love, which he's working on now. He's been a finalist for the Nebula Award, the World Fantasy Award, the Shirley Jackson, and the Tiptree Award. And, including myself, everybody in this reading series is from Brooklyn. So come with attitude, but make it a friendly one. So that is coming up. Oh, you see now... didn't start the theme underneath. Oh, yes, I did. How smart of me. How smart a boy I am, as Peter Pan would say. So that's this coming Tuesday, February 5th, at the Soho Gallery for Digital Art, 137 Sullivan Street. For more information, go to ourwolf.com, H-O-U-R. W-O-L-F, or on Facebook, look for NYRSF, the New York Review of Science Fiction Readings, and you will find all the information you need there. Or, hey, send me an email, Jim, J-I-M, Jim, at OurWolf.com. Keep it simple. Thank you all for listening. We will be back next week. I suspect we're going to have wormholes. We might even have a new edition, a CCNY edition of Wormholes, talking about that with WBAI management. And, well, one way or the other, we're going to try to have fun and save the station. Thank you all for listening. Have a wonderful week. Be good to each other, Stephen Fry likes to say. And stay tuned to this, your local Pacifica station. We go out, as always, with Steel Eye Span, Sails of Silver.
Let's find the people who hate this. These are the places we'll hit.
Number one, Hannah.
Panama, talking about Peru, Azania, Brixton, Belfast, can't forget Korea, Beirut, can't forget Haiti, Iran, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Mexico, talking about Uptown, Harlem, New York City, y'all, and Nicaragua, East and South Central LA, California, IA, Miami, do or die, Bed-Stuy, never ran, never will, Brownsville, boogie down, South Bronx, yeah. My man Joey to jail, and now they got him in court because he burned the flag. That's the name of the game. Well, I quit playing. I doubt the suckers want you to hear what I'm saying about this nation. Freedom supposed to be the format, but I step on your flag like it's a floor mat. Maim and mangle, the star spangle. I'm not trying to diss you. I use the flag like toilet tissue to wipe my black ass. What? You think that I'm a jackass? I see a flag and I attack fast with some fire. My desire to burn what Betty Ross sold up. The truth I show up about America, America, home. Free. Boom. This is the home of the slave. Now hold on just a mother minute. You gave me freedom of speech in the First Amendment. So why trying to scold me when I toss you the flag? I'm only doing what you told me. You don't like it, so what? I'm not scared of you. Your flag, America too. See, I made up this new rule and I want y'all to learn it. Strike a match to the American flag and burn.
This is Burn Baby Burn at 99 Cinco, List Alive. 6 minutes after 3 o'clock, flag burning time until, yeah.
And you're fighting. Won't get you nowhere, so no matter with no it. No matter with your fussing and your fighting. I could see.
By the climbing guns.